Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum. This is Captain Mike. We are on issue 94, if I believe. Yep. And, of course, as always, I do this thing here with Kane. How you doing, my friend?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just real quick, off the show, kind of behind the scenes, everything sounding good on your side?
Yes, sir.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right, we're trying some new things today, and we're having some issues the last couple of weeks in. So let's see if this works out. So far, so
just
good.
A couple issues.
Just a couple. Yeah, exactly. I do see one issue, guys. I'm sorry. I think my camera's a little slow, but we'll get that fixed later. But here we are, guys. Once again, here's Asylum. We do reviews and a rundown of all the news, rumors, and everything that happened over the last week. And, of course, we every once in a blue moon, we do have to start it off with a memorial. If anybody is out there, has seen some of our random shows, our wrestling shows, we are, Kane and I are both wrestling fans, and we do have some wrestling fans that are out in the asylum with us. But we lost one of the big ones. If you want to take a Mount Rushmore for the icons of, you know, many decades, this one I would put him up there as Mr. Pat Patterson. Died on December 2nd, 2020. And Pat is known primarily for you 90s folks, for you, you know, Attitude Era. He was one of the Stooges, just drew a blank on
Jerry Briscoe.
Jerry Briscoe. Yeah, I was going to say Bischoff. I was like, no, it's the other B. It's Bischoff or Briscoe, sorry. And so they were known primarily there. But before that, Pat had an illustrious career. He was the very first intercontinental champion ever. I think he was crowned down in Venezuela when he would receive that. And also, most people, you know, don't realize that, you know, if you guys aren't into the trivia or the, you know, getting to know more about wrestling, but Pat Patterson was actually one of the very first openly gay wrestlers in the industry. And there were times he did take shit, but a lot of times there were a lot of great stories out there about how, you know, there were some out there that would kind of question him, but as they got to know him more, realized everything was, he was on the up and up, and he was a good guy. So definitely somebody that is going to be missed. He was Vince's right-hand man and one of the chief architects of the Attitude Era and during that time frame. So he is definitely going to be missed. I do know there's a plethora of WWE superstars and those behind the scenes and former stars that, you know, are going to miss him because he was a big part of their lives.
Big time. Yeah. He was a backstage agent for a while. I think one of his chief things, from what I've heard in the wrestling industry, is his big thing was always about finishes. He was big on finishes. Apparently, like, he helped plan finishes for the matches that make sense in storytelling and ring psychology and all that stuff. So, and everybody you hear online and Twitter, like Jericho, couple other guys from WWE who used to be there. They're always very high on Pat, especially in the backstage area. Like, he helped groom some of the young stars for today, like Dwayne Johnson, you know, big proponent of him as well. So huge loss, especially in that industry. And he will be missed.
Yes, definitely. He will be missed. And but yeah, we're going to go ahead and move forward. Just so you guys, if anybody is listening, we're going to cancel out of our streaming right now. It does not look like it's working like we thought, but we're going to continue with our audio podcast. So if you guys are interested, make sure you do check us out over there on our regular site for the podcast. So next up, big news for Wonder Woman fans. We got announced that Wonder Woman, you know, we announced it last week that, you know, Patty Jenkins did say, you know, December 25th, we are going to be getting Wonder Woman both on streaming and on the out in the theaters as well. And apparently, and it's still kind of up in the air, though, the way it was reading, is it seems like it's a little bit up in the air because HBO didn't tell, or Warner Brothers didn't tell the rest of the movie theater industry about the other movies that they're planning. But apparently they are planning to release the rest of their 2021 lineup through HBO Max. And there's been a little bit of a backlash. Primarily, I know AMC is probably one of the biggest ones. The chairman of the AMC kind of did a backlash going, hey, now we agreed on one. We didn't really agree on the others.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, like, I think we reported a couple months ago, you reported that Patty was pretty confident this movie was going to come out. It was going to be their Christmas gift. So, and everything I've read as far as review-wise, very positive. So, This is a good thing. I mean, as far as a snafu with the other movies, I mean, they'll figure that out. But, you know, Wonder Woman coming out and the rest of those films. Dune was one of them, right? That's coming out on the...
Yeah, they were talking Dune. Okay. They were talking Suicide Squad. They were talking, of course, you know, Wonder Woman. Matrix 4 was also on that list of possible movies to come out. So that is... It's great that they're doing that. And then right now... I know we have to work within our confinements that we're in now, you know, during this strange time in our lives. So hopefully there's something that they'll be able to work out. I mean, obviously they were able to work out the whole thing with Wonder Woman. And basically I think how it's running is like, it's going to be released on HBO Max. And I think in the theaters for a limited time, and then it's going to be straight theaters. Like those of us that have HBO Max, we'll be able to watch it for three weeks. Then after that, it drops, and then it goes out to theaters, I think, for a month. Mm. And then I think it goes out to Vudu and to, you know, Prime and all those. And then it gets released out to the general public, you know, in the other sources. And then, of course, you know, DVD at that point, because pretty much everything comes out DVD like within three months nowadays, 3 to 4 months.
Maybe shorter. Yeah. Maybe shorter than that.
Well, nowadays, probably would be shorter. But on average, like leading up a year to two before this, we were about 3 months for DVD releases.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes it's the next month. But, you know, I guess it all depends on how big the movie is.
Big movie is, or how small the movie is. Sometimes. Or how small the movie is. Yeah. Sometimes a big movie will get released quicker, and sometimes a small or a really bad movie will get released just as quick.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that one movie that came out in January and it was released like on DVD the next week? Was it Bloodshot?
I think that was originally the plan for it too. Oh, okay. There were a couple that were that way. Even Bill and Ted's. Bill and Ted's was set up that same way, that, you know, hey, we're going to release and then it's going to be out, you know, streaming and stuff like that. So, but you have something, you were reading me before about Wonder Woman, you know, for the movie that I guess there were like the pre-screenings or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Some of the, there's a review embargo on it right now, I guess. I think it ends this week sometime, but,
yeah, usually ends, I think a week or week and a half beforehand. So,
but people have posted their social media comments as far as like what they, you know, because social media is not really banned, but their reactions and everything's pretty positive from what I've read. They say Gala's great, the action's good, and it's a worthy sequel to the first one.
Well, I think in the social media network, that's about as much as they can say. No, social media is monitored for that kind of crap as well. But they can say good, bad. They can say it, you know, but they can't get into...
They can't get specifics, They have to wait.
I know, I think I read one, it was a tweet, Twitter that came out, and I can't remember who it was. And they said Patty has somehow recaptured the perfect 80s movie. And I don't know if...
I've read that as well.
Yeah, I don't know if they're talking like in the tone of the movie or if they're talking the styling of the movie. I mean, obviously, we've seen we've seen the trailer. And we see the styles. We see the fanny packs and the Gico jeans. Yeah, we've seen everything that would be considered, you know, a straight-up 80s throwback. So... I can't wait, especially, I mean, you and I, anybody in our age bracket, we're 80s fans to begin with. And if they're able to somehow give, you know, a slight little nod to the 80s, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's perfect, especially the era it's in, the Cold War era and all that stuff. And it just sounds good, and it just makes me more pumped to see it when I do go to the theater, because I will go to the theater, and then I will watch an HBO Max. Yeah. You got to support the theaters as much as you can.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, I'm definitely. I probably will watch it first HBO Max since I already have it, and then I'll go to the theaters, and go see it then.
Yeah. Either way, this is one of those. I'm gonna make the trip, probably to Altamont AMC or maybe Waterford Lakes AMC. I don't know because the Regal over here closed, so I have to. I do a little bit of driving now.
Come over to our side of town. It's all right. We'll go with you. We'll go with each. We'll go with you. I mean, so you don't feel alone and like, you know,
miserable.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna go to the theater ball by my lonesome.
But one of the things I am looking forward to in Wonder Woman, and it kind of does tie into the next story, Pedro Pascal. I can't wait to see him doing Maxwell Lord. I can't wait to see that.
Me neither. That's gonna be fun.
But talking about Pat, you know, Pedro is, you know, of course, Mandalorian's the it word for this fall. Actually, it's been the it word for the last two falls and winters. But it looks as though we've got a somewhat little bit better timeline also for understanding where Ahsoka falls into this, because we weren't too sure, you know, where where the time frame is. We know 5 years post Jedi. But the moment it's coming from Dave Filoni, and he says it's a possible that Ahsoka's debut on The Mandalorian happened chronologically before her last scene in Rebels. And if anybody remembers the last scene of Rebels, her daughter's name.
Sabine?
Yeah, Sabine Wren is sitting on the tower of Ezra's homeworld. And there she's talking, and you hear monologuing about how the Empire has fallen and the rebellion is now building up. And you see rebellion, or Alliance ships and the New Republic ships going flying through over the city. And you see her, you know, just having her internal monologue about, you know, where, wondering how Ezra is and where he is. Mm. And then you see her staring at the painting of, you know, the whole, basically all the characters that was on that wall. And then the next scene you see is Ahsoka with her hood up, you know, basically they're on their way to leave to go find Ezra. Mm. And he's saying and suggesting that that scene happened post this episode, or the Jedi episode of Mandalorian. So we're kind of in an overlapping period. So now that kind of gives us an idea of where we're, you know, where we kind of are. And again, you know, there's that talk and hope and wish that we'd love to see Rosario pick up and can carry on Ahsoka, if not a series, but maybe finish up with a movie of, you know, the rescuing of Ezra, or the,
that'd be kind of
the
cool.
Resurrection of Ezra.
The resurrection, you know, of Ezra Bridger.
Yeah, something along those lines. And maybe we'll get that because the fan reaction has been nothing but positive. In fact, the few negatives that have been out there, Rosario has been a trooper and just shot right back at them. Even Filoni did a shot across the bow at the trollers before any of this started to come down. So it's a good idea, you know, that, you know, we see them leaving Lothal, Sabine and Ahsoka, and then so we kind of have an idea of where they are. And I remember she was asking, where's your master at?
Yeah, she's Thrawn. Yeah, she's asking about Thrawn. So it lines up pretty. It lines up pretty well. Hopefully, we'll get more explanation down the road. Maybe, like you said, maybe a series, maybe a movie. That'd be nice.
Yeah, even just a movie, just a mini series. You know, the mini series is sort of making its comeback, especially
the search
in the streaming.
For Ezra.
Yeah, I mean, your mini series are coming back in a way. You know, those were a big thing in the 80s. You know, in the 70s and 80s. You know,
oh yeah, those were like the prime time. I think, what was it? The Roots was a mini series. They had
classic sci-fi. V.
V was a mini series. Yeah, tons of them.
Yeah, I mean, V started off as I think V had two mini series, and then it ended up having one season of a television series. So, you know, it's a good way. And instead of starting off a series with a mini series, end something with a mini series. Like they were, you know, and I think that would be a great thing. But speaking of Mando, give us your rundown for the last episode, tragedy. I know, what a tragedy.
We got to put earmuffs on. Earmuffs, if you haven't watched the episode, earmuffs.
That's right, folks. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, this is time for earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
Say about 5 minutes.
Yeah, let's do about 5 minutes. Starting now. In memorial of the Razor Crest, which literally went out without a whimper and is reduced to ash following the attack by some of the Empire's finest. We got to see Boba Fett in all his glory. You know, when I saw Slave One, I was just geeking out really hard. I was like, oh my God. I mean, I knew it was coming, but just to actually see Slave One again, I was like, oh boy. And then he gets the armor back on, and then his rapport with Mando is awesome. And then, you know, the scenes with the Gork girl. Greek. What is his name? Grigo?
Gorgo.
Is it Gorgo?
Yeah. Or Grogo.
Grogu. I want to say Grigo. Grogu, yeah. You know, seeing him harness the Force and all that, that was kind of cool. And seeing how his powers are growing also, that was also cool. And then you had the Bounty Hunters. I mean, everything about it is great. I mean,
he was feeling his inner Darth Vader. I can tell you that fucking much.
Oh, yeah. Man. He
wasn't playing
around. He was throwing those stormtroopers like they were nothing. And his interaction with Moff Gideon, and, you know, Moff showing him the Darksaber, that was kind of cool. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you can't play with this.
Yeah, I love him trying to reach out, get it from you, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he couldn't. He's like, you're tired. And they put the cuffs on. And I was like, oh, damn it. I mean, you knew this was going to happen. I mean, the title is called Tragedy.
Yeah, the tragedy, yeah. And again, we see a rhythm, which is fine. I completely understand rhythms in storytelling. George Lucas will be the first one to explain that. There are rhythms in storytelling. And yes, this happened last season, where we had a moment where the child, you know, Grogu, was, you know, had been captured. So definitely something that we're going to be looking at. And but again, that means the next two episodes, the last two of this season, are going to be so intense and so action packed. It's not even going to be funny.
Yeah,
because you know where the last episode or the second or next episode, we're going to be left with a killer cliffhanger. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah, well, it's already put it in there. I mean, as you noticed in the episode, he went back and he talked to Cara Dune, mm-hmm. but saying, "Hey, man, we got to release this one dude from prison because we got to track down this cruiser." So he's getting ready to do his.
Bill Barr's coming back, folks.
Yeah, he's coming back, man. He's coming back. They're all coming back, and I think they're all going to line up and get on Slave One and do the rescue of Grogu. I think that's what's going to happen, and I don't think you're going to see Boba Fett after this season. I think he's kind of...
No, this is a one and done. I think this is a great way of at least paying homage to the old-school fans, saying, hey, he is there. Yes, the rumor that we've passed on for decades about, yes, he survived the pit of the Sarlacc pit, and he did move on, and so, yes, we're getting that answer again. Great thing that they're doing is they're able to delve in and pick into the legends category, you know, legend stuff, and pick it apart. And I think that's what we're going to see more of.
Yeah,
the more they go, and I can't wait. I loved the interaction between between Jindaran and Boba, because we don't know much about Boba. All we've had is him as a kid being the whiny little pissant he was, him being the whiny little shit he was in Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And then him, you know, in Empire, basically making grunt noises, and you know, and then the lame ass Wilhelm scream when he died. You know, we supposedly thought he died in Jedi. Yeah. So we don't know. Yeah, we don't know much about him. And this is great to see him honoring that, and so, you know, showing honor that, you know, no, we promised you something. We're people of our word, both of us. You know.
Mm.
And again, we do get the answer of some sorts. And you and I had this discussion yesterday about Django. Is he Mandalorian or is he not?
And then the other question came from that conversation is Mando a Mandalorian now? That's what I got out of it. I was like, well, who's the real man? Like, apparently from what it was explained is that, you know, he was a foundling.
Yep.
Like his dad was a foundling. And Mando was a foundling, but there's two different sides of Mandalorians because Sabine has what's, I guess, the pure breeds, and Mando's side is more of the zealots.
Because if you remember two episodes ago, Bo-Katan made the comment, because he's talking about the creed, and she's like, no, you're one of the zealots, you know, one of those, you know, those offshoots. And it's, so it's making you think that, you know, is the life that Mando was leading, was he just a, you know, a different side of the Mandalorian and not what they consider true Mandalorians? And that's where that gray area is. And I think we'll never get that answer.
I don't think so, neither. I think I mentioned to you about maybe the armor might show up this season. I don't know if she will or not, but it would be nice to have a scene with the armor.
If she does, it's her and Bo-Katan are going to butt heads.
You know that's coming.
That's two mama bears, you know. Hey, no, my way's right. No, my way's right. Then let's go outside.
Let's duke it out.
we're going to put our cigarettes down and our PBR down. We're going to go duke it out in the trailer park.
Why I got a big trailer park?
I don't know, man. Something about it. Something about the armor just gives me trailer park vibe. I don't know what it is.
Well, especially his armor. Now, I just like the fact the way they detailed. This is the last thing, by the way, the Mandalorian. I don't know, I'm running overtime, but
no, we're good.
The armor of Boba Fett. I just like the way it looked worn in. I think that's a key thing, especially in a series like this. You know, it could fall into a habit. No, it's still nice and shiny after the scar. Like, no, it's beat up.
But we've already seen it. It's not like that we haven't seen this yet, but it's different from the last time we saw it. Three episodes we saw the armor, and it looked beat up, but not like it did now. I don't know what, like the scratching across the helmet to me looked worse when Boba was wearing it than when the sheriff.
Sheriff was wearing it, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, what happened? Did something happen in the midst? Did like did Jarring let the child play with it and beat it against the wall or
something? Maybe. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time we've seen the armor post Boba, so it's like just that it looked different. That was the only thing. I was like, why does it look different?
It looked a lot of different.
Yeah, and that's how I'm like, okay. I mean, it's cool that I wish they would have made that look, that damaged look. Maybe that's the look it was after the big worm thing that they dealt with.
Yeah, that thing that killed the Sarlacc pit monster, apparently. I mean,
yeah, supposedly. Yeah, we don't
supposedly
have
a, we yeah. don't Yeah, it's not confirmed, by the way. We have no proof, yeah, so we don't know what happens.
It was just a statement that was made, and
just to make that creature appear more bigger and badass. That's all it was. But maybe the Scarlet Pit is still out there somewhere. Maybe we just moved. I don't know. Maybe it's in one of those towns, one of the Moss towns, Moss Eisley, or what's the other name? Moss Muppet Town or something.
They had a bunch of mosses out there, so there were a few that were out there. So you video game fans out there, anybody out there a big Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear fan? I was in the beginning. No, I was an entry level Metal Gear fan. I never followed it up to when it got first person, but it looks as though Isaac is going to be Oscar Isaac is in the runs. Star Wars Dune actor, if anybody's been under a rock, is in talks right now for Solid Snake for the new Metal Gear Solid movie. So there's again not confirmation, but a deadline for first reported that the news that apparently Solid Snake or this Metal Gear Solid casting decision, while citing unnamed sources, neither Isaac nor any involved in the film have confirmed the casting yet. But Deadline also said that they usually would expect that because of the, they like to keep things secrecy. Mm. And it is now a high priority in Sony Pictures to move forward with this film.
They've been talking about doing Metal Gear for a long time, long before Isaac's, rise to prominence. And I think 10 years, it's been in development hell. But
Well, not too long ago, you had a little wish list of having Henry, Superman himself, doing it. And if you look on, I think it's on Twitter page for Boss Logic, they actually have two sketches, one with Oscar in the Solid Snake, and then one with Henry. And I got to tell you, the Oscar one looks like one of the covers. I mean, it's great.
Literally does. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of story in the Metal Gear, universe, so they could do a lot of stuff with it. I'm not sure if they're going to go the route with the giant tank, but the other stuff, like the other Metal Gears that came after that, Patriots and other stuff, really good storylines as far as like, Solid Snake, Liquid Snake, there's other dudes around, there's like a mother involved and a dad. I think in one of the games he had to kill his own father. It's a lot of depth. Yeah.
Well, you can even go back to the original. Everybody jumps to what games are doing today.
Mm.
These games have been around for 20 years. They could go back to the first Metal Gear. I mean, I was 12, 13, I think, when I played my first.
Yeah, me too.
And so you can go back even to that story, which is a basic story, and build from there. That's why I think everybody jumps and goes, oh, what's going on now in these games? Let's do now. No, look at the origin of these games, and they have great storylines that they wouldn't continue to exist if they didn't have great storylines to begin with.
No, I agree, and you can go back to the original. I'm just saying, if you wanted to modernize it for some people who have never played the games, you could just go, take some stuff from the current runs or, go from the beginning. I don't know. I just don't know how a big, the original Metal Gear Solid was all about that fighting this gigantic tank, and I don't know if that's going to work nowadays.
Well, it's not going to be about opinion. What they're going to do is not going to be about fighting the gigantic tank. It's going to be stopping it from being made. Mm. It's going to turn into an espionage movie where he's got to track down the scientist that did it, and maybe probably that scientist has a daughter who's been kidnapped, and that's why he's doing it. It's going to follow a lot of your tropes. Sorry, I love my video games. I don't like my video game movies, so.
Well, there's not too many. So you're not the only one.
They're tough pills to swallow. So I don't see great writing coming from it. I understand it's a Sony property and Sony does a great job, but
thing about those, those adaptations, those video games, when it goes to film, it's like a lot of the video games that are made nowadays, made by the developers and all that, are made like movies.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you take that property and try to remake it as a movie, just never works, because the same time that was put into made that game to make those games, not necessarily the time that you can have making a movie. I mean, it's just a different type of dichotomy.
And honestly, if they're gonna make a game or a movie based off of that story, like, I'm not gonna go see that. I've already played the game. I've already seen that movie. Mm. You know what I mean? So they're always gonna want to change it up to be a different story, just taking place in that world and that character, and then that's where the faltering comes in, I think, in the writing room.
Yeah, because they try to have sometimes they can be guilty of oversimplifying things, mm-hmm. instead of making it simple. We know we have a saying here in the Universal Island, keep it simple, stupid, because I think that always works. Anything you do, and when you overthink things, you tend to put too much in there. You know, there's a lot of movies I could just throw in examples out there, just over like Spider-Man 3 to me. I think of that movie. That was overthought, and they put way too many things in there when it didn't need to be that way. And I blame the studio, because that's not really Raimi's fault, because if you watch the first two Spider-Man films, they were very simple. You know, they had one story going through, like, you know, one villain, and then...
Well, they got greedy. They went the Batman route and thinking...
They did.
More villains, the better. No, flesh out that one villain.
Flesh it out, man. Flesh out the one villain and then save the other ones for later. I mean, I just don't know. I thank God that trope is done as far as like the multiple villains.
Not really. What's that new bet? What's the Batman looking like? Sorry, I hate to put that one in your face. That movie already stings, but
hold on. Oh yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I spoke too soon.
Yeah, so I mean it's
well, let's just hope that they do a good job. Yeah.
Oh, so what do you got next?
Well, guess what? Everybody's actually this week there was a picture that was leaked, and
I did it because I needed the money. Oh, different picture. I'm sorry.
I got money for that picture, by the way. Anyway, there's been some casting news in that Hawkeye series. Like this week, if you guys took a look at Hailee Steinfeld's Instagram page leaked, and I guess it is confirmed she's playing Kate Bishop, which makes Mike very happy, and me too. Yay. She's a good actress.
Yes, she is.
But there's been also casting news in that Hawkeye series. Florence Pugh is going to enjoy it. Vera Farmiga and Tony Dalton. Not too much familiar with Tony Dalton, but Vera Farmiga I know a lot of, and Florence Pugh, I guess this kind of confirms that she's going to be the new Black Widow going forward. You know, I mean, that's what it looks like to me. So I guess this is going to take place after the Black Widow movie. So it just,
well, it's a series. I mean, it's not a movie. It's going to be a series for on Disney Plus. And yeah, so it's going to be kind of what we want. And I'm happy with this. Hailee is, I think, perfect for this role. She can do action. She can do being a smart ass. If anybody's seen the Bumblebee movie, you could just put her in that role. She's perfect. I mean, everything that, you know, that she had to go through for that, I think was, is doing great. I love the concept that they're bringing back a lot of the Hawkeye characters that we've already seen from his family. As well as one of the villains actually is coming back. You had the article up, so I closed out mine.
Sorry, guys.
No, keep going, but no, let me, I'll bring mine up again.
Oh, no, what I was going to say is I think this kind of confirms what I said about the Black Widow. Basically, she's basically going to be Florence Pugh is going to be the new Black Widow. I think that's what it confirms kind of like to me. We've heard about that for a while. You know, maybe Scarlet might come back, but I think this kind of poo-poos that and says, you know, that, you know, Florence going forward is going to wear that, you know, Black Widow mantle. And, you know, she's a kick-ass actress, too. I mean, if you haven't seen anything of hers, she was in Fighting With My Family, and I thought she was great in that. She's been in other films. She was in Midsommar, also really good. So, young, aspiring actress, and she's really good, too. So
yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what route they go because, again, the Black Widow film is taking place many years before Endgame. So, not sure. What you're saying, I would love to see, but I don't know because of the timeline.
Did they say it was after Civil War?
What? The Black Widow? Yeah, I think it's after Civil War. But then you have to realize how many years passed from...
Oh, that's right. The snap.
Yeah, you got to realize these aren't movies that are like taking place within 2 years. No, there's a gap between those.
We'll have to find out. You mean the blip? I was going to say the blip.
Yes. No blip. There ain't no blip here.
<They know. laughs> But it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, but that whole gap, see what she's been doing since then. But good casting. So I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I think that comes out probably 2022. So
that's where they're looking at casting that. So that's right. You were talking about Jack DeQuest. He's going to be Swordsman. That's who he was cast. Cast as. That's why I was trying to find that one.
A wonderful age that we live in currently when you have swordsmen being cast in the Marvel
universe. And they're talking Kazee was also on the cast. Kazmizer, I can't pronounce his name. He's gonna be the clown.
The clown.
Yeah, another assassin to kind of mime me.
Oh, that's frightening.
And Yeah, we're going to also get Echo. There's another one of their casting that they're talking about.
Interesting.
So, it's definitely going to be cool. Yeah.
And don't get mad when I say this. Is Kate Bishop Hawkeye's daughter, or is it she's somebody completely different?
No, that's I believe that's Hawkeye's daughter.
Okay, all right. I was just trying to figure it out. I was like, is that is supposed to be his daughter?
Yeah. I don't think it's like Green Arrow and Connor. I don't think it's that where they're not you know, they're not long lost parents and kids and stuff like that. And I got to tell you, I love IGN because they're pretty good, but. They're talking about the casting on here and saying who's who, and they're like Clint Burton, Hawk Guy. I'm like, no, he's Hawk Eye. You more
Hawk Guy.
Hey, he's a Hawk Guy. No,
he's a Hawk Guy. Yeah. Oh, Hawk Eye, not Hawk Guy.
So with Disney, I mean, talking about the Hawkeye series. You know, of course, we're getting WandaVision coming up soon. I think that's dropping in January.
January 15th.
Yep. So, I mean, we're finally getting that run of those Marvel movies that we've been promised, or movie series that we've been promised. We do know that Cassian Andor is filming already, and Obi-Wan is set to start filming. Supposedly, they thought somebody said in Boston that they saw something
that's,
about
that's
Obi-Wan
what I heard.
Filming
that's
up there.
What I, that, that's what I got here as well.
So I hope Obi's getting some wicked chowder. I don't know
what chowder there.
I'm not sure what the Boston accent's going to do in the Star Wars community. Maybe that's a one. Maybe that's one of those mosses out on Tatooine. You know, maybe he goes out there.
Can you imagine if they just totally screw up the series and it's like set in modern day?
They're out at.
Yeah. What are you doing here, Obi-Wan? What's over here? Obi-Wan just hanging out at the bar all day using the Force.
he's out at Mos Wicked Sweet, you know.
Oh my God, Mos.
So but there is news of that. But the reason I was bringing this up is there is a rumbling going on in the midst of the streaming wars that we've been having. It seems like we've seen the package of Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN for like $13 or something like that. It sounds as though Disney is going to take some notes from HBO Max and starting to integrate Hulu into their streaming service. So then they will be a juggernaut. On par with HBO Max, which I think is not a bad idea, because that gives them a chance to have that R-rated series and that R-rated section. Because if anybody's a Hulu subscriber, you'll look at Hulu. Hulu has a tremendous horror library, and they've got their own horror series, all done by Blumhouse, in fact. And they work directly with Hulu to get these out. And if Disney took Hulu, merged together, and said, okay, you're getting all of Fox, and you're going to continue doing your Blumhouse thing, I think that would be amazing.
That'd be a kick-ass plan.
I mean, because they could do similar to what HBO does. I was angry and bitter, and I've gone past that, and I've seen how well HBO Max has been put together. All right, I wave the DC Universe flag. Proudly, and I still will. I think it was a great product. It still is a great product for comic book reading. But what HBO Max has done with integrating or bringing DC Universe into the fold is so seamless. It's its own thing. You go into DC, you have HBO Max, you have Crunch. What was it? Crunch, not Crunch Hill. It's for anime ones. Crunchy Films or something like that. Crunchy Films, and then you have the TCM, the Turner Classic Movies, so you can go and watch your old black and white movies. Then you have a DC section. You click DC, all that pops up on your screen, nothing but DC series, everything. I think the way they put it together, and of course the library that HBO has is just tremendous. I love it to death. So, just they need to get their shit together with Rootco. But that's another. That's another
that's
one.
But
I think if Disney does this, this will be great for them and give them a step up. And like they said, you're circling the wagons. You're going to bring yourself into be the single juggernaut on par with HBO. And again, when the price I pay for HBO, it's the $14. But it's not when you look at what you get, it's not that bad. It really isn't. So if Disney went that route, and if they just stuck to the $12.99 for the package that they do, if they just stick to that,
that'd be fine.
That's great. Now, I know the biggest thing for everybody out there Will it be commercial free or not? They're not talking about the fine points on that. Hopefully, if it's going to be brought in with Disney, Disney doesn't have commercials, so.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And again, if that's the case, guys, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. So deal with the price at that point. When I've had Hulu, I've dealt with the commercials. So
yeah, it's just something you deal with, man. I mean, people get all wound up tight about that. Yeah. And I'm like, just deal with it, man. It's just.
Well, it's like you guys. And I know I've got to binge it. I can't watch it. I can't wait for it to come out every. I laugh at folks that do that. So.
It's just, to me, it's very silly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man. Literally, the commercials don't last that long. They're like literally like maybe 15 seconds and they're done.
Yeah. And sometimes they're not even the same ones. I think I'm on Peacock now, and I'm enjoying Peacock, and it's cheap too.
Yeah,
it's
Peacock is cool. I like
$4.99. It's really nice. Commercials rotate, which are great. I think the other ones, they all are the same fucking commercials, but at least Peacock rotates around.
I'm a big proponent of the Peacock, especially that Saved by the Bell series. Really,
yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, you are a fan of that one.
It was good, man. That's really good. You should check it out. You should really check it out. I mean, just put your inner hatred to the side and just watch it.
Never was a fan of the show to begin with. Not going to watch it now. I'm in my 40s. So what do you have next, sir?
Kat Vasco. You know, we used to hang out with her. Cheers. Remember her?
Yeah, no, I remember.
Just kidding. Kat Vasco, she's going to write and, I believe, direct a female-led Plastic Man movie. So it shouldn't be called Plastic Man. Shouldn't it be called, like, Plastic Woman?
Or Person. Let's keep it. If you want to go straight PC, Plastic Person.
I don't know how I feel about
it. Or Plastique, if you want to do it and make it a French movie.
Plastique? You very fancy,
yeah. Well, I got two plastic bus in here,
or just call it El Plastic.
El Plastic. There you go. But to me, honestly, that's one of those gender swaps I'm sort of okay with. It's not to offend any Plastic Man fans out there, and if there are, please message me because I would love to meet you. I know nobody.
Let me tell you something. I'm gonna cut you off real quick before you go on your little monologue. I know some people who are Plastic Man fans.
Really?
Especially they exist? They exist. That is not a undercover brother type thing. They are real.
Really?
I got two of them at work. Really? Might be the only two in the world, but I know them. They're like, I told them about it. I was like, yeah, there's going to be a Plastic Man movie. It's going to be a woman now. I'm like, oh, well, how come it's not going to be a guy? And he named who Plastic Man. I was like, wow, you're a Plastic Man fan? That's odd.
Now, I would be upset, like, you know, if this was like them doing, I know Plastic Man and Roy Debney are two different people, but like Roy, if they went, well, we're going to turn that one into a female, I'd be a little upset. But again, to me, Plastic Man doesn't have a lot of, he doesn't have a lot of weight behind him. I mean, it's the best way I can describe it. You know, when you think of Plastic Man, I think I revert back to Plastic Man animated series. And I think I picked up a couple of his comic books when I was really little.
I agree with you 100%.
So, I'm sure there are the hardcore Plastic Man fans out there. They're like, oh, this is wrong. Why did I? But to me, he's not a. It's strange to change an icon. Let me put it that way. And I'm kind of okay with it because, again, they're not doing anything with him either. He's kind of one of those ones that's just been kind of sitting around and collecting dust. So, let's try something new.
Might as well. You can make it a comedy or something.
But it's got to be. I mean, you're going to have to have a little tongue-in-cheek about it. We're definitely going to see some expanding boob moments. I mean, I could write this. You know, we could sit down and have a six-pack and we could write this out, you know, with a bunch of, you know, throw in the bridesmaids, new writers, and there you go. You're gonna nail it out of the park.
There you go. You could have, what's her name? Not Leslie Mann. Actually, you could cast Leslie Mann.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You wouldn't miss a beat.
But, yeah.
No, I was thinking a particular one of Plastic Man that was kind of dark, and it came out in The Dark Knight, you know, not The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Returns 2, or The Dark Knight Strikes Back. He was in that novel, and they kind of made Plastic Man a very terrifying sort of creature because
at that point, yeah.
Yeah, because he was old, he was bitter, and he turned himself to like bombs or something. It was very creepy. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, but again,
if they wanted to do that version,
that's the last time I can think of him being utilized, other than massive crossovers where he's drawn.
Well,
in the
he
corner.
Was in Metal. He was in Metal for a little bit too.
What the fuck wasn't in Metal? All right, they metalized everybody. All right, what did they not? They metalized Crypto or
Harvey? No, the animals are not in it.
Well, there's a car and a dinosaur, so you can't say there's no animals. There's a isn't there a metal dinosaur?
You mean Batman? That's Batmammoth.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Say it with say it proud, brother. Say it proud. Be proud of
Bat
that craft.
Mammoth.
Be proud of that craft.
Metal is forever.
Oh, so are hemorrhoids and herpes, but when you don't see them grabbing around grabbing those.
Gotta give man
some. So, but yeah, I'll be interested to see. Again, I'm not angry at that. They're not.
Like you said, they're not doing nothing with them.
Not doing anything. And again, yeah. I hate to make any Plastic Man fans upset, but I just don't think there's much weight into the character, any heavy history other than the few times you've mentioned.
Yeah, you're not. That is like rare moments, and you're not upsetting anybody.
Yeah.
You're right on point with that. So just go do it away.
Yeah,
go,
exactly.
Do your Plastic Person or El Plastique movie.
Yeah, El Plastique. Christmas, guys, we are in the festive holidays, and, you know, we always like to talk about the holiday movies. There's always a debate of what's a holiday movie, what is not.
Die Hard.
And, Die Hard is on this list that we're going to be talking about because, you know, right now, we're in the middle of the holiday seasons. We just did on our Facebook page our holiday movie watch-along, and we decided the inmates voted. They said that they wanted to see the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, so that is coming out this week. So for you guys here, it will be dropping on the 9th of December on our Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies podcast station. So make sure you guys check that out. If you are listening to this on podcast, you'll see the link at the very bottom in the descriptions. So you can get to our site and find it. So, but since we're doing that and we had a list and you and I kind of talked about the list a little bit about what you chose and then we had a few inmates make the comments about, wow, well, why wasn't this on the list? Why wasn't this on the list? There's so many different ones you can throw on there. You know, if you look at your primary ones, A Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, Elf, Bad Santa. I think Bad Santa was on our list, actually.
Yeah, Bad Santa was on there.
But there's a list of what we consider non-traditional Christmas movies. And, you know, you mentioned one of them that's on this list is, you know, Die Hard. That falls under the Christmas movie. In fact, if you go to certain stores, you will find it in the Christmas section right now. In their Christmas, Christmas, you know, displays, you'll find that there. Another one I'm surprised you never mentioned, it's probably I'd probably put this in your top 10, maybe Batman even Returns. Top 5. Batman Returns,
yeah, that's one I figured out. After when I was doing the list, I was like, why didn't I put Batman Returns on there?
Yep.
But yeah, that's clearly it's set in Christmas. I mean, they there's trees and gifts and it's
I mean the whole design of you know the gangs they're using toys and everything. Yeah. Penguins, you know, that you got everything's Christmas-esque. Another one, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Is a very Christmas.
Is that set in Christmas?
Well, because it's a school that goes through the school year, most of them have it, but this one's heavily around the Christmas.
I have to watch that one.
Yeah, no, because it's during the school year.
Is that the beginning one?
Yeah, that's the first one, yeah.
Okay.
Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stones, for those of you overseas. I know we have a few listeners overseas.
And they will fight you on that.
Another great action movie, Lethal Weapon, falls under the Christmas non-traditional. Yeah,
because first or second?
First one. Yeah, very first one, because if you remember, I mean, one of the primary scenes where we actually meet Riggs, he's buying a Christmas tree, or he's buying drugs at a Christmas tree store.
He's right.
You know, and then, of course, you know, the scene, the big fight scene that's in the yard, you're seeing Christmas lights flashing everywhere as well as the...
Such a good movie. Yeah. I might have to put that one on.
Another one, guys, we just recently been doing our midnight movies for the Avengers Initiative, which is a bunch of movies that we're doing that we feel are the best 12 to represent the full Infinity Saga for MCU. One we didn't do, but this one's counted in there, Iron Man 3.
Yep, that's big time Christmas movie, yeah. Especially when he goes to the town, meets up with the kid, and messes with his armor and all that stuff, and you see that kid again in another movie that we're going to do this month.
Yep.
Endgame, which is the last one. Sniff, sniff.
Yeah,
but that's another Christmas movie. What else you got?
Another one I would love to do, and I know you want to do it as well. We haven't done it yet, but Shazam falls under.
We're doing that tonight. No, I'm not. Actually, yeah, that is another Christmas movie.
Yeah, that falls under. And again, another one I can't believe we don't think of as I do equate this, and whenever anybody talks about it, it never pops into my head. But Gremlins, the first one. I mean, that is great.
I'm kicking myself for not putting Gremlins up there. You know what the funny thing is? I put that poll up there, and I thought, except for Surviving Christmas, which I should never put that movie on there. I don't even know why I put it up there. I was probably half asleep when I put it up there. But after I put the poll up, I didn't see too many votes. But then I got suggestions like, why didn't you put this? Mm-hmm. I'm like, my God, man.
I know when I put the poll, because I'm the one that put the poll up, I blocked people from adding because I know we've gotten ourselves in trouble with that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so maybe I should have left it open. Here's another one. And I would, the movie I would like to do, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yes.
With Iron Man and a Batman in the movie. You know, that's a...
That is a underrated flick if you've never watched Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Very good. Probably Val Kilmer at one of his last decent roles.
Yeah, that was his post. But it was his resurgence after Batman to kind of make up for it because it was Robert pre Iron and then him and then Kilmer post Batman.
Yeah,
and then the last one on the list, and I always forget about this one as well, and I love the movie, but Rocky IV, because it takes place Christmas.
That's right.
And their whole build up is around Christmas. Hmm. And of course, you know, that rest in peace, Paulie and the Robot, because apparently there's a new version of that out there that they took the robot out.
Why did they take the robot out?
People didn't like it. He didn't, and I guess Stallone wasn't a fan of it, so he apparently has. So there is another version out there without Paulie's robot, which I think is just wrong.
Come on. That, hello there, Paulie.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Paulie. Yeah, I mean, it's... So, you know, those are the non-Christmas movies. So make sure you guys, if you know, check those out, watch them. But like I said, we just did our Christmas movie for this season. We did my personal favorite. It became a family tradition for me was the Griswolds, you know, the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. So make sure you guys check that out. And we may slip in. I don't know if we're going to have the time. It's a holiday week. Holiday month is a little crazy. But maybe we might be able to slip in doing one of those other movies that was on the list. Or maybe one of the ones that we've just discussed as a review instead of a watch-along.
Yeah, we'll probably do one of them as a review. I think we've got time for a review.
So we'll have to sit down and maybe throw another poll out there and maybe revise your poll. That sounds dirty, change up your list.
I'll make the necessary arrangements to change up the list. I will do that.
All right. So, well, that is everything I have. Do you have anything left? Or you're good? You were good to go. All right, guys. Like I was saying beforehand, when you're done listening to us, scroll down to the very bottom. You're going to see the descriptions of our show, exactly what Kane and I have talked about. But you'll also see a link at the very bottom for streamerslink.com/heroes_asylum. That is the link that will take you straight to our shared page with Midnight Movies, also Heroes Asylum, all of our social media, so you guys can get in there. Also, our email is on there, so if you guys want to shoot us an email, say anything, want to invite yourself on, come on board. And check it out there. And like I said, you will definitely hear the Heroes Asylum Midnight Movie is updated, and we have, like I said, the Christmas Vacation this week, and next week we'll be dropping Ant-Man and Wasp.
That was fun.
So so make sure you guys do check those out, and check us out on our social media network, which is where?
Twitter, @TheHeroesAsylum_podcast. Instagram, @TheHeroesAsylum. And as Mike eloquently said, check out Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies. Tons of stuff in there. Grab a beer, grab a drink, watch it with your family, your friends. Have a good time. Have a laugh. And as always, from Mike, to me, to you, to everybody else, get to the asylum.